We are reading this morning from Genesis 41, verses 14 to 32. Let us hear God's word. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon, where he was shaved and changed his clothes. He came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said that that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," he replied to Pharaoh. But God gave Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I'd never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up after are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How are you at waiting? Everybody loves waiting, right? Last week we talked a bit about standing in line, and I revealed that standing in line is not my favorite thing in the world, though I'm certainly willing to wait my turn. I'm regularly amazed when I come into the church in the mornings during rush hour traffic how many drivers that are heading eastbound on the 417 get off at Woodruff. And when the light changes, they don't turn left, they go straight across back onto the ramp again so that they can get ahead of three cars. Truly astounded. Don't want to wait. We spend a fair amount of time waiting in line at the grocery store in traffic lights, waiting in line at Senators games, though those lines are getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and less enthusiastic. We wait at home for installation by Bell or Rogers or Tech Savvy. We wait to get the grades for an exam. We wait to hear about a job. We wait while we are on hold on the telephone. In our house, we call it on ignore. Grace, are you on ignore? Yes, I'm on ignore. And we wait on ignore as we wait for companies to provide a service that they refuse to provide us online. Of course, we wait a lot. And it seems to be the more important the thing we wait for, the longer we have to wait. Does that seem to be kind of a general rule? Not always. We've been looking at vision, the vision of our lives and the vision for the church. A vision is the future we want to have. And so we plan and work towards that future, toward that vision. It can be a vision for a career or a position within a career or a vision of a family or a vision of a better world or a better community. As followers of Jesus, we want that vision to be from God, or at least to be God-approved, that it is in God's will for us as we work toward it and our future. By definition, a vision is something for which we have to wait because it has to do with our future. But we live in an immediate gratification society. And as much as we try and fight that, we tend to want it now, whatever it is. But we have to wait for the fulfillment of the vision that God gives to us. But we cannot wait passively if we actually want to achieve the vision. We have to work, and we have to make full use of our skills and our talents and our gifts along the way as we move towards the vision that God has given us. That is true of individuals, it is true of us as a church, and it was certainly true of Joseph. Now, we've been following the story of Joseph, the favored son of his father Jacob, as he looked to live the vision that God had given to him, revealed to him in dreams that God had given him. The very quick recap. Joseph was hated by his brothers because of his favored status. He was hated because of the dreams that he had, dreams that proclaimed his brothers and parents were going to bow down to him someday. So they sold him into slavery rather than killing him, great brothers that they were. He was sold to Potiphar, captain of the guard for Pharaoh in Egypt. Joseph did well there. He rose up in the ranks of the servants as a trusted man and was made the chief servant of Potiphar's household. But it was sometime after that had happened that Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of attempted rape, and he was thrown into prison. But then in his time in prison, he also proved himself and was elevated to the place of chief prisoner. You get extra pay for being chief prisoner. And that's where we pick up the story today, except that our scripture reading comes in partway through the rest of the story. It would have been a very long passage to read. In chapter 40, read that at home later if you'd like. In chapter 40, we find that Pharaoh became angry with his cupbearer and his chief baker, and he had them thrown into prison. We're not sure exactly what they had done, but they were in prison. Same prison that held Joseph. Now, we don't know how long Joseph had been in prison at this point in time, but it would have been some time for him to be elevated up to that position of chief prisoner. Now, Joseph could have given up. Favored son, slave. Pretty powerful slave, but still slave. But then imprisoned slave. You don't get much lower down the pecking order than imprisoned slave. Joseph could have given up. Giving up may have crossed my mind if I had been in that situation, but Joseph did not give up. He did not wallow in his predicament, and that meant that Joseph continued to be himself. He continued to use the gifts that God had given to him. And very clearly, Joseph had a gift for leadership, and he continued to use that gift. And that is at least in part why the warden of the prison elevated him to the position of chief prisoner. In spite of the fact that Joseph was about as far away from achieving his vision as he could possibly be, imprisoned slave, he continued to use the gifts that God had given him. He wasn't giving up. Then one day, the cupbearer and the baker, they both had dreams. They were both disturbed by the dreams, and neither of them knew what the dreams meant. And they were talking about this and were really quite distressed. And Joseph saw the distress, and he asked them about what had happened, and they told him they had dreams. They didn't understand them. They were pretty distressed by them. Joseph could have said, "Sucks to be you," and on he goes, but he didn't. He used another of the gifts that God had given to him, the gift of interpreting dreams. And so Joseph listened to the dreams and then interpreted the dreams for them. He told the cupbearer that his dream meant that he would be returned to his position in 3 days. Encouraged by the interpretation, the baker wanted to hear his interpretation too. Well, it was another 3 days for the baker, but he would be executed in 3 days. And both of the interpretations proved to be true. So Joseph asked the cupbearer, he was the one who was living, to remember him. "Remember me and tell Pharaoh, appeal to Pharaoh on my behalf because I was falsely accused." The cupbearer promises, of course, but as soon as the cupbearer is restored to his position, he forgets about Joseph. Forgets all about Joseph. For 2 years, he forgets about Joseph. So 2 years after the cupbearer is restored, Pharaoh has a couple of dreams. And he can't interpret them. He's disturbed by them. His officials, the magicians, they can't interpret them. He doesn't know what they mean. And at this point, the cupbearer remembers Joseph and tells Pharaoh about him. So Joseph is brought before the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh tells him about the dreams. We read about them just a moment ago. We heard about 7 fat cows, healthy cows, being swallowed up by 7 sickly cows. We heard about the 7 healthy heads of grain being swallowed up by 7 thin and scorched heads of grain. And that this was God telling Pharaoh that there would be 7 greatly abundant years where the harvest would be incredible, but that they would be followed by 7 years of severe famine. Now, directly after Joseph using his gift of interpreting dreams, Joseph went to work with his gift of leadership and told Pharaoh that he needed to appoint a leader over the country who would manage things so that they would be able to take out of the abundance of those 7 years some food and store it away for the 7 years of famine so that there would be food for all of the people across all 14 years. Joseph used his gifts. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. Joseph is Pharaoh's 2IC, his second in command. All of a sudden, Joseph was in a position where it seemed like God's vision for him could possibly come true. He was second in command of all Egypt. That is a position that would cause people to bend the knee, to bow down to Joseph. But it wasn't all of a sudden, was it? It wasn't all of a sudden at all. In fact, Pharaoh appointed Joseph his 2IC 13 years after he was sold into slavery by his brothers. 13 years. And he spent more than 2 of those years imprisoned for a crime that he didn't commit. Joseph's life was a complete roller coaster. And through it all, through all of the ups and downs, he continued to use the gifts that God had given him. When things were going really well, he used his gifts. When things were going simply awfully, he used his gifts. When he was feeling close to reaching the vision, he used his gifts. When he was so far from his vision that it wasn't funny, he used his gifts. Now, it sounds a bit of a no-brainer. to say that we need to use our gifts and skills and talents that God gives to us to achieve the vision that God gives us. Even when God clearly gives a vision to us, we still have to work for it. God provides us with the goal, what he wants for us in life, but we have to work for that. We have to use our gifts, our skills, our talents in the process of doing that. That's kind of a no-brainer. We can't just sit back and wait for God to provide everything for us. But I'm looking at this in the context of what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we looked at when circumstances don't fit the vision. When we end up in a place where it seems impossible for the vision to be fulfilled, like Joseph being sold into slavery, like Joseph being put in prison. It is in those impossible places that we must continue to use our gifts, as if it's not impossible. Because that is an expression of trust in God, who will see us through to achieve our vision. At every point along the way, no matter how far from God's vision, Joseph continued to use the gifts the Lord had given him. And that's a vitally important lesson for us. And then last week, we looked at one step forward, two steps back. When we are making no headway at all in achieving our vision, or even when we seem to be getting farther and farther away from achieving our vision, it is then that we must continue to use the gifts the Lord has given to us. Because it is through the use of those gifts that we express our faith in the God who is also working to achieve that vision for us. I think we'll do this. I don't know for sure. I think in the fall we're going to take some time to look at how God gifts us, how he empowers us to do his will. It's not a sure thing, so don't quote me on it, but I think we will. But for right now, God gives us gifts to use. He gives us natural talents. There are things that we are just good at. And it's not to be stuck up about it. It's either a thing of genetics or maybe a thing of being raised. But there are things that we're just naturally good at. And that's purely the grace of God. It's not we may work at it and we may develop and grow those natural talents, but it's just a gift of God to us. There are also learned skills. We work on those. We get training and we practice at them and we hone those skills. But even these are at least in part God's grace, because if we're in a position to be able to get the training and do the practicing, that's the grace of God. And then there are spiritual gifts. These are purely the grace of God. Spiritual abilities that God gives his people for the blessing of all his people. Things like leadership and teaching and healing and administration and discernment and generosity and knowledge and mercy, and on the list goes. Those are directly from God. Those are the grace of God that he gives for the building up of his people. What are you good at? What do other people say to you and tell you that you are good at? What gives you energy when you do it? What gives you life when you do it? See, those are probably your gifts. And you should use those. You should use those wherever you are in working towards the vision that God has given to you. And this is the same for us as a church. We are discerning and working on God's vision for St. Paul's. And I'm looking at kind of rolling this out and talking to the whole congregation about what the vision team has learned and discerned to this point on first Sunday in April, April 7th, we're going to do that. So plan on being here, because we're going to talk a lot about the specifics of where God is leading us, where we believe God is leading us. At times, As we work towards God's vision as a church, we will find that we are in circumstances that don't fit the vision. There will be times where it's one step forward and two steps back. And even in those places, and perhaps especially in those places, we must continue to use the gifts that God has given to us. We must use the gifts that God has given to us as a church. And that means all of our individual gifts. But it also means our collective gifts. There are gifts of individuals, but when the individuals gather together, there's a bigger thing going on. And there's gifts of the family, of the community. What is St. Paul's good at? What are St. Paul's gifts? I've heard numbers of people saying St. Paul's is a welcoming community, a welcoming place. And we have to be that. Use that gift. Let's use that gift more. But let's be more than just welcoming. Let's go deeper than just welcoming and encouraging and drawing people deeper into relationship, into the community that is St. Paul's. Wherever we are on our journey as a church towards the vision that God has for us, we need to use our gifts, which means using our individual gifts, but it means also using those collective gifts as the body of Christ. Visions take time to achieve because it's about the future. But there's work to be done between here and there, and that work involves us all using our gifts for God's glory and for the blessing of his people and for the achieving of God's plan for us. So as each of us works towards our own individual visions, may we also together work toward the vision that God has for St. Paul's. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for the gifts that you give to your people, the blessings that you give us to be a blessing to one another and to be a help to your church. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us and help us to use those gifts. Help us to be a blessing to one another, to the community. Help us to strive forward to reach the vision that you have for us. Our God, we ask this in Jesus Christ. Amen.